So if you were here last week, you know that our gospel reading picks up right where we left off. In fact, the first portion of the reading happens on that first Easter day, when Mary Magdalene runs into Jesus in the morning and mistakes him as the gardener. But after she recognizes him, she runs back to the disciples to tell them. So where we picked up today is chronologically the scene later in that same day. Now, today has been nicknamed Low Sunday. After the high mass of Easter with the joy and the fanfare, the high attendance, the swarms of people out there taking eggs, today generally has been quieter. Oftentimes, churches will have guest preachers, or less music, or just less people. So while our gospel today begins on Easter, this day has always had a very different vibe from Easter itself. We left off last week with Mary Magdalene seeing the risen Jesus and then running back to tell the disciples. And yet today, we begin by hearing that the disciples were locked away in the upper room and that they are afraid. Now, John tells us that they were afraid of the Jewish authorities. However, I, along with several other commentators, kind of struggle to see this reality. And let me tell you why. First of all, when Mary Magdalene discovered that the body of Jesus was missing and ran and told the disciples, Peter and the beloved disciple come running to look in the tomb. Now, in my estimation, if there was a place where they were going to run into the authorities and be arrested, it's probably going to be at that well-known tomb of Jesus. And also, there is no evidence that there were any plans to arrest Jesus' followers after he died. When they were under the impression that Jesus' missing body is the result of a grave robber, Peter and the beloved disciple have no concern about running to check it out. But as soon as Mary reports to them that she has seen Jesus and he is alive again, then suddenly they lock themselves away. But if anything, shouldn't they want to go out and see their friend who has come back from the dead? Something just doesn't sit right. But John tells us that they are indeed afraid, and hiding does seem like a really legitimate thing to do when you're afraid. What are they afraid of? Now, something you may not know about me is that I like horror movies. I like the suspense, but more often I just kind of like the mystery. And like most teenagers who grew up in the 90s, I remember watching the movie I Know What You Did Last Summer. Not the remake, but the original. Gotta be the original. And it's pretty formulaic. It's a slasher film. Dumb teenagers make ridiculous mistakes. A bad guy picks them off one at a time. And if you haven't seen the movie, I'm going to spoil it for you. So just be warned. So there's this group of high school students that are driving recklessly on the 4th of July while on these winding roads to the beach in the hills of their coastal town. Now, while the driver of the car was distracted by the escapades of the other passengers, they hit a man in the road. And they're concerned about the consequences. What if someone finds out? So they decide to throw the dead man's body into the ocean and just move on with their lives. Like I said, they were dumb teenagers. And a year later, they get this message, each of them. I know what you did last summer. Ooh. And then they're hunted down one at a time. And at the end, we find out that the killer the entire time was the man they had hit with their car. He wasn't dead after all. And he wanted to come back and take revenge on the people who hurt him and left him for dead. Now, this theme isn't new. Ancient cultures have all kinds of myths about people being killed and then reanimated, only to come back and seek out vengeance on those who had wronged them. And so I wonder, were the disciples actually afraid of running into Jesus? I mean, if I were them, I probably would be. They weren't scared when they thought his body was stolen. But as soon as they know he's alive, perhaps they remember that he might just have a few little beefs with them. None of them left things well with Jesus. They all pledged their loyalty and devotion to Jesus before his arrest. But by the time he was crucified, they'd abandoned him. They denied him. They were nowhere to be found. Maybe they were concerned that Jesus was alive again and would remember what they had done. Maybe he was holding a grudge. So they must have been all the more terrified when Jesus appears to them, having somehow entered the room through a locked door. But Jesus, being Jesus, quickly allays their fears. He isn't back for divine retribution. Instead, he simply tells them, "Peace be with you." I think that this is Jesus' cheeky little way of saying, "I know what you did, but I forgive you. Of course, I forgive you. Be at peace." Now, fear often has its basis in shame. Shame for who we are, shame about what we've done or we haven't done, shame about any and all things we believe are our inadequacies. We're fearful that someone else will recognize our failings, expose our shameful parts. And to that, Jesus recognizes that it is often the hardest for us to forgive ourselves. He tells the disciples, "If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." In other words, you can only move on if you forgive yourself. Life in the world of resurrection means that God sees all of our scars and all of our wounds. God sees the ones that we have caused others, the ones we've caused ourselves. God loves us even when we close our hearts and minds to others, ourselves, and even to God. Resurrection reconciles those places of shame and fear and frees us from the confinement. And it gives us no less than abiding peace. As you move through this Easter season, my prayer for you is that you may seek out and find true and everlasting peace.